is acceptable to God, we are to find out what pleases God. Now, the Bible says that there was a life of a man by the name of Noah that I think personifies what God's looking at and what makes God smile in life. There's a man by the name of Noah that brought pleasure to God. He did that which was acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. Now, in Noah's day, the entire world had become morally bankrupt. Everyone was living for their own pleasure. God couldn't find anyone on earth that was interested in pleasing him. So God was grieved and he repented, or he regretted making man. God became so disappointed with the human race that he even considered wiping it out altogether. But it says there was one man by the name of Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, or one man that brought pleasure to God, or was a pleasure to God. God is saying, Noah brings me pleasure. He makes me smile. I'll start over with him and his family in order to keep posterity upon the face of the earth. Because Noah brought pleasure to God, you and I are alive in here this morning. From his life, we learn the four acts of worship that makes God smile. Number one, God smiles when we love him supremely. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Or, to put it in Oklahoma, Arkansas vernacular, he was perfect in his generation. He consistently followed God's will. He enjoyed a close relationship with God. He made God smile. He pleased God. Now, the most, I think, the most difficult thing in the world for us to understand is the fact that God wants a relationship with you and me. Now, I don't understand why he wants a relationship with us, but God made us in his likeness and in his image, and he formed us of the dust of the earth. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and God, who put himself in us, in a sense, wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to love us, and he wants to be loved in return. God says, I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your love and obedience to me. Jesus called the greatest commandment of all is that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Now, God wants you to know him and to spend time with him. You remember when you first started dating that one that is your mate today? You remember how that you just wanted to be with them all the time because you loved them. You know, you cared, you loved them. And so you just wanted to be with them all the time. And I believe that if we love God, we're going to want to be with him. And we're going to worship him. And we're going to be obedient to do what he says for us to do. But where does it all begin? The Bible tells us that the Lord said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. So it all starts right here. If we want God to smile upon us, if we want God to be pleased with us, it starts first of all with a new birth. You must be born again. Then secondly, God smiles when we trust him completely. Now, the second reason Noah pleased God was the fact that he trusted God. Even when God asked him to do something that really didn't make a whole lot of sense in his day and time. In Hebrews 11 and 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God in a dream, or things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Now, by faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something that he could not see, and he acted on what he was told. Now, that's faith, isn't it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, God comes to Noah, and this is the essence of what he's saying. Noah, I am disappointed with the human race. In the entire world, there's no one out there that thinks about me. Noah, when I look at you, I am pleased. You bring a smile to my face, so I am going to flood the world and start all over with you and your family. I want you to build a great ship that will save you and the animals. Now, these commands of the Lord, you know, kind of presented some problems. It could have caused Noah to, first of all, had said, well, Lord, I've never seen rain before. I really don't know what rain is because, you see, prior to that time, God had watered the earth from the ground up with the dew. And then secondly, Noah lived hundreds of miles from any giant body of water, and so it was that he didn't know how in the world he was going to get that big houseboat all the way over to a body of water. And then there was the problem of rounding up all the animals and caring for them. But Noah didn't complain. Didn't complain at all. Didn't make any excuse. He trusted God completely. And because he did that, that caused God to smile. That pleased the Lord. Don't you want to please God this morning? The God that we're one day going to have to account to, don't you want to please him every day down here? And if we do, and we have him as our Lord and Savior, then when we stand before him in judgment, we don't have to fear. Well, trusting God completely means having faith that God knows exactly what's best for us. And he does, doesn't he? He's omniscient. He knows exactly what's best for us. You expect God to keep his promises? He always does. You expect God to help you with your problems? Sure we do. And sometimes we even expect God to do the impossible in our behalf. And God, being the gracious God that he is willing to do for us. Those that fear him or honor him, those that trust in him, God is pleased with. 120 years to build an ark. I imagine that he faced many a discouraging day. I'm sure that along the way that he began to maybe question. I don't know. He was human. I mean, he could have said, Lord, there hasn't been a storm cloud in the sky. I haven't seen the lightning flash. I haven't heard the thunder roll. Lord, how do I know that it's going to rain in 120 years? But he didn't complain. Well, here was a man that I'm sure the children occasionally might have said, Dad, it's kind of embarrassing to have that big houseboat out in our front yard. And there's no water around here. And then he was known in the village as the man that thinks God speaks to him. So here was a man that God spoke to him in the beginning. And as far as I know, God didn't ever speak to him again until the time of the flood. But he had enough faith to believe God has spoken. I will do what God wants me to do. And that pleased the Lord. In what area of your life do you need to trust God completely? Trusting is an act of worship. You see, just as parents are pleased with children when they trust them and when they trust their wisdom, God is pleased with us. I don't know about you, but when I was young, I thought my parents were dumb. I thought they really hadn't been elevated to reality, and I knew better. But as I got older, they got smarter. And I think that's with all of us. Do you believe God knows exactly what's best for you? God knows exactly what we need. He knows the path that we are to travel every day. He knows what we're to do. And if we'll just get up every day and ask, Lord, please direct my paths today. Help me to do what you won't do. Lord, help me to do right. Help me to bring a smile to your face today. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then God smiles when we obey him wholeheartedly. Saving the animal population from a worldwide flood required a lot of attention given to logistics and details. Everything had to be done just as God prescribed. Remember, God told him, build not just any old boat, but build one that's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. He told him what kind of wood to use, and then he told him how many animals of each type to bring on board the ship. Noah's response is found in Genesis 6:22. So Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. I'm convinced that there was no instruction that was overlooked. He obeyed exactly in the way that God had prescribed and in the timelines that God had given him to get it done in, and that's wholehearted faithfulness to God. That's what God wants. God is not a God that is demanding of us more than what we can give, but brethren, all of us can be faithful. All of us can serve him every day. Our God is a gracious, gracious God. Well, if the Lord asked you to build a giant houseboat, would you do it? Or maybe there would be some questions, some objections, maybe a reservation or two. But Noah didn't. He obeyed God wholeheartedly. And when God asks without reservation or without hesitation, you don't procrastinate and say to him, Lord, I think I need to pray about this. If God called you, the God you're going to pray to, you know, just do what God said to do in the first place. And there's some things we don't have to pray about. If God says it in his word, that's not something you pray about. You do it, you know. You just simply do what God tells us to do. God doesn't owe you or me an explanation or a reason for everything that he asks of us to do. Understanding can always wait, but obedience cannot. Faithfulness to the Lord. Often we offer unto the Lord partial obedience. We want to pick and choose the commands that we obey. It's like one says, I'll attend church, but I won't serve. I won't give. I'll read my Bible, but I will not forgive that person who has hurt me. You see, God intends for us to take the whole counsel of God and apply it to our lives and live it. Partial obedience is disobedience. Reminds me of King Saul. He was dethroned because of partial obedience. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then fourthly, God smiles when we praise and thank him continually. Few things feel better than receiving the heartfelt praise and appreciation from someone else. You know, we all enjoy someone saying, you've done a good job. Thank you so much for what you've done. I don't know what we would do without you. That blesses our heart. Well, God feels the same way. God is a person. And God, being a person, created us for honor and glory to his name. God wants us to bring honor and glory to Him. He wants to be proud of us, and He's proud of us when we're faithful and obedient, doing just the things He tells us to do. You don't have to be some kind of superhero. Just be faithful and serve Him, and God will be pleased with you. Noah's life brought pleasure to God because he lived with a heart of praise and thanksgiving. The first act after he got out of the boat and the flood had receded was, the Bible said, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings on it. You see, that was his way of saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance and your protection. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, we don't have to give an animal sacrifice anymore, as Noah did. Instead, we're told to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We praise God for who He is, and we thank Him for what He has done. David said, I will praise God's name in song. I will glorify Him with thanksgiving. That will please the Lord. God wants us to do that. My grandmother, when I was growing up, she lived out between Lindsay, Oklahoma, and Maysville, was out in the Hughes community. There was a kind of a county school, and my grandfather was the custodian for the school. We lived on property. My grandmother was an excellent cook. She cooked three times a day, every day. I mean, except on Sunday now. But she cooked three times a day, and it brought her joy when we would eat a lot. I brought her a lot of joy in my life. And it brought her joy when I would come up and I'd put my arm around grandmother and I'd hug her and say, Grandmother, that was so good. And she'd just beam, you know. And I like to make her beam. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but she made a vinegar cobbler. Boy, y'all haven't lived. She made a vinegar cobbler. I'm telling you, that's the best stuff. And I even got her to make it for breakfast a time or two, you know. It was so good. And it just brought her joy when I would light up and she'd say, well, I've made you some vinegar cobbler. She'd make me eat the eggs and stuff first. But anyway, it brought her joy when she saw that we were pleased. Well, worship, it works both ways. We enjoy what God has done for us, and then we express that enjoyment to the Lord. And it brings Him joy, and then it increases our joy. In Psalm 68 and 3, it said, let the righteous be glad and rejoice in His presence. They are happy and shout for joy. You know, as parents, when we first had our children, I don't know about you, but, you know, we'd put the children to bed and they'd finally go to sleep and quit crying. And anyway, we'd put them in the little bed and you'd go in after a while and you'd look at them, you'd check them, see if they were breathing, you know. You wanted to kind of touch them a little bit, you know. They were so special. Well, think about God, our Heavenly Father, that looks down from heaven. And He watches us. But, you know, He made us. He made us. He knows what we're made of. And He knows what we're capable of. And He loves us. And so He reaches down and He looks and He smiles on us. We are the pride and joy of His creation. You see, you were His idea, and He loves you and He loves me. And if you were the only person on the face of the earth, He would still be just that same way because He loves us. When you live in the light of eternity, your focus changes from how much pleasure am I getting out of life to how much pleasure is God getting out of my life? You know, that's important. I'm telling you, we're passing through this life. I cannot believe that, you know, we're in 2014. When I was in the 70s, 1970s, 80s, I never thought this time would ever come. I never thought I'd be here to enjoy it, you know. time just keeps on rolling by. And we're getting closer and closer to the time when the Lord says, it's enough. It's enough. You know, if God got to the point that the old world, that he couldn't find anyone that pleased him, and it grieved God, repented God that he made man, and he said, I'm going to destroy it. You know, except for a few righteous people, I believe God would have already come back. He's giving us an opportunity to do all we can to reach as many as we can while there's still yet time. But there's going to come a day when God said enough. And on his calendar, he's marked today. He's marked today when he's going to come back again. And we need to be ready for that time. In his book, More Than a Carpenter, Josh McDowell used a simple illustration to show what God was doing at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote, an incident that took place several years ago in California illuminates what Jesus did for us on the cross. A young woman was picked up for speeding. She was ticketed and taken before the judge. The judge read off the citation and said, guilty or not guilty? The young lady replied, guilty. The judge brought down the gavel and fined her $100 or 10 days in jail. Then an amazing thing, he said, took place. The judge stood up, took off his robes, walked down around in front, and took out his billfold and paid the fine for the young lady. The explanation? The judge was her father. He loved his daughter, yet he was a just judge. The daughter had broken the law, and he couldn't just say, honey, because I love you, I forgive you, you may leave. If he had done that, he would not have been a righteous judge. But he loved his daughter so much, he was willing to take off his judicial robes, come down in front and represent her as her father and pay her fine. Do you know that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did? We had sinned. There was no way in the world that we could pay the fine. The fine was eternal death. We couldn't afford to pay it. No one else was able to pay the fine. And so the Lord Jesus Christ took off his royal judicial robes and he came down in front of the Father and said, Father, I'll pay the price for their sins. I'll pay the price so that they won't have to. And Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, stretched out his arms on that cross, his blood flowed freely until all the blood that ran out that day flowed like a mighty river to the four ends of the earth, saying you can have forgiveness and cleansing because the Lord loves you and he's willing to pay the price that you don't have to. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to tell you, if there's anything that we take home this morning, it's the fact that God loves us. Don't know why he loves us so, but aren't you glad that he does? Aren't you glad that one day he reached down where you was, picked you up out of sin, and blotted out your name in the books and wrote it in his book, the Lamb's Book of Life? What a blessing it is to be a Christian. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful this morning for your love and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for this time of invitation where, Lord, that decisions can be made. I pray, Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, that they'll come and respond and say yes to you today for your forgiveness and cleansing. We know it all starts here. And, Lord, I pray that if there's one that's walking a guilty distance from you, that they'll step out and come this morning and rededicate their life to you. Or Lord, if there are those that would like to be a part of our church family and help us to serve and keep the Lord's house until he comes here at this place, Lord, help them to come as well this morning. But have your way in this invitation time. Meet all of our needs. May this be a time of introspection as we look inside. And if all is not right, Lord, may we leave here this morning after a trip to the altar, and everything will be thoroughly right with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand.